Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
ESNY.
And they are. So this is the sad episode of the Bleacher Creatures Yankees podcast presented by Elite Sports New York, Crossing Broad, Warwick Gaming, XL Media, and as always, Rivercrest NYC. It's episode 117. The Yankees lost the wild card game to the Boston Red Sox. Now, I feel like it happened like a million years ago already because I mean, we recorded a little bit early last week, recorded on Monday last week and in anticipation of that game. And now it's Wednesday. So it's only been 8 days since the game happened. But in my mind, it's been no shorter than 3 weeks. And this has already been the longest offseason that's ever existed.
Yeah. 8 straight days of just pure pain. It's been terrible. It's been so bad. It really has.
Yeah, it's not good. And it's, you know, this is what we were afraid of. And on the last episode, this is what we were afraid of, that Gerrit Cole was not going to be healthy enough to give us the start that we needed for the Yankees to win in the wild card game. And he didn't. Gerrit Cole was bad. Straight up, Gerrit Cole was bad. And that's because he hasn't been healthy for a month. And I saw it's been very frustrating to look at all the people claiming that, oh, it'll be overpaid Gerrit Cole and Gerrit Cole doesn't know how to pitch in the big game. Like, shut up. Gerrit Cole knows how to pitch in the big game. He's been dominant in his playoff career. This is just a case that he hasn't been healthy all month. And I think maybe looking back, you know, when he gets injured in early September, maybe, you know, hindsight's 2020, maybe you should have just taken a couple weeks off and fully healed instead of trying to pitch through it. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe Aaron Boone should have forced him to take some time off and just get a couple rehab starts in. But we also really needed him just to make it to the playoffs. We felt like we really needed him, even though he wasn't pitching very well. And it was kind of a lose-lose situation for the Yankees. And, you know, I hate to say it, if you just win all these games against the Baltimore Orioles that you probably should have won, then you're not in a position where you need Gerrit Cole to be pitching every fifth day, even though he's injured. Maybe we win the wild card game. I don't know. It's rough.
Should have started Nestor. Should have gone with nasty Nestor. I mean,
the ace of the staff.
I know it's a must win. It is the game. Like, if you lose, you're done, which is exactly what happened. But man, I don't know. They just, the managing, I was questioning the managing too. I mean, you kind of knew early on that Gerrit Cole was not having it. He was leaving pitches up. He was leaving pitches in the middle of the zone, just not looking great. And yet you keep him in. And I just don't get that, especially with the way that the Yankees offense has been producing for the past month.
Yeah. I'll say the pitch to Bogarts, that was a bad pitch. That was right down the middle. That deserved to be banged. And that was, you know, it was kind of that feeling that after you hit that 2-run home run, it's like, this game might be over already. Might be over. And, you know, credit to Kyle Schwarber, the pitch that he banged Gerrit Cole on, that was not a bad pitch. It was above the zone. It was out of the zone and it was high fastball. That was, you know, should have been high enough to get a swing and a miss. And Kyle Schwarber was just like, fuck you, I'm going to go hit it anyway. And it's going to leave the ballpark. So, I mean, credit to Kyle Schwarber, but it was very clear that Gerrit Cole didn't have his best stuff. Whereas Nathan Eovaldi, you know, extra credit to him. I don't think he has ever pitched that well in his entire life. I don't think he's ever had that kind of stuff as a major league pitcher.
I told you, did I not tell you?
I had faith in Nathan Eovaldi because we didn't score a lot of runs off him this year. We got him good at the last time we saw him. We ran him after 2 2/3 in the regular season during that sweep of the Red Sox, which looking back on, it felt like a momentum shift. But I've never seen his fastball go quite as fast as he threw it in the wild card game. I didn't think he did a lot of stuff that he doesn't usually do, which was really frustrating to me, because that morning I went on a whole, you know, analytics breakdown of if Nathan Eovaldi gets you in this situation, this is where he's going to go. And you got to be prepared for this, 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 and this. And he had just like, he didn't throw sliders to left-handed batters. He preferred throwing curveballs to left-handed batters. He threw like two sliders to strike out lefties. I'm like, the numbers don't support this. You used your fastball more than you usually use it, and it got us on swings and misses, which it normally doesn't. This doesn't support, you know, your season-long stats. And I don't know, I just felt like he had some of the best stuff that he's ever had in his entire career. And you saw it in the next start. It wasn't as good. It wasn't as sharp. The fastball was down a couple ticks. The movement and control wasn't as good. But that wild card game, he was amped. He was amped up.
The Nathan Eovaldi postseason dude is a completely different person. And I believe I said that. And you told me not to be too worried. So I'm just saying here. I was rightfully so worried, and I knew after the first inning, I was like, okay, the Yankees are, you know, they're swinging well. They're swinging early, but they're swinging pretty well. Giancarlo Stanton should have had a home run if it was a regular ballpark.
Should have had two home runs.
He should have had three home runs, probably.
Yeah, well, right? He did. He did hit one. One of them he did get out.
He should have had three home runs. We should have won that game. It should have been the Giancarlo Stanton Yankee moment of greatness. But it wasn't.
Yeah.
Because Fenway fucking Park.
Garrett Cole let us down. Who was it? Who was the reliever that got banged? Was it Chad Green? Did he give up a home run?
Chad Green gave up a home. Yes. Chad Green gave up a couple of runs. Yes, he did.
Yeah. Not great. And yeah, that's, you know, it is what it is. You knew going into that game, you're going to have to try to get after Nathan Eovaldi because he just doesn't throw balls. He just doesn't. He throws more strikes than anyone in the league. He has one of the lowest walk rates of anyone in the league. He's going to throw strikes. So that was the plan. Go attack the fastball early. And I mean, Aaron Judge did a good job. Giancarlo Stanton did a good job. Everybody else kind of sucked. And I think that kind of leads us into the offseason conversation. Let's go. Quick top five. Let's do a top five, Allison. Top five things you want to see the Yankees do this offseason.
Maybe get a new manager that, you know, listen, like, I love Aaron Boone, but I've been saying this since day one. They wanted Aaron Boone as a puppet. I feel like Aaron Boone, he looks at the analytics. He tries to do what the Rays are doing. But honestly, I think half the time he makes a move just because he's like, I should probably make a move. Not sure which one it should be, but I'm going to make it. You know, I feel like he just doesn't have the right feel for it. And it's really frustrating to watch. Obviously, you can say that the Yankees offense just completely failed, which they did. The offense failed them in the end, and their pitching failed them. They just failed. But I would not mind seeing someone new at the helm, because I am sick and tired of Kevin Cash and Alex freaking Cora, who should have been suspended for much, much longer and yet is back in the game doing this now and being like, oh, we're the underdogs now. I'm like, yeah, because you cheated and you should have gotten in bigger trouble, but it's fine. Whatever. I just think the Yankees really need some fresh life. Breathe into them, because I feel like they're just stagnant and they're going to continue doing the same thing with Aaron Boone at the helm.
Yeah, that's, you know, part of the problem is if we do fire Aaron Boone, and I don't think the Yankees will fire Aaron Boone. I know there's already rumblings that they're leaning towards keeping him anyway. Even if they do fire him, you know, I'm not putting this season on his back at all, because it wasn't Aaron Boone's fault that the balls got de-juiced. DJ LeMahieu lost all his power. Gleyber Torres couldn't figure out how to lift the ball. Gio Urshela regressed. Luke Voit was injured all year. It's, you know, those things aren't on Aaron Boone, but I wouldn't hate to see him go, just kind of a turn the page sort of thing. Not that I'm putting the last few years on Aaron Boone. He's certainly made a lot of mistakes, but he's, you know, he's made some good decisions too. And you know, you're not going to get credit for those if you're the manager. No one ever gets credit for the good decisions they make. They only get blamed for the bad decisions they make. It just turn the page, maybe just set up a new culture. And the thing is, whoever replaces Aaron Boone is just going to be Aaron Boone again. The Yankees are calling the shots from the front office. There's a plan. There's lanes they want to use bullpen relievers in. There's ways that they want to deploy their lineup and their rotation. Whoever comes in for Aaron Boone is going to be the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I guess the fact of the matter is, like, the Yankees themselves, they can say all they want that we just aren't, we're not getting the job done. Have you ever thought it's because they are managing from up above? Like, you know, it's just, that's never worked. It's never worked in any sport. I don't know a sport where that's actually worked. And if you can prove me wrong. Like, I'm all for it.
I wouldn't say that for baseball. I mean, that's what the Dodgers do. The lineups aren't coming from Dave Roberts. I mean, he has input, and I'm sure Aaron Boone had a level of input, but it's the nerds who are saying, this is the way we can optimize our lineup. It's the nerds saying, these are the bullpen matchups we like the best. And it's the same with Kevin Cash, who I think, you know, out of all the managers in baseball, I think Kevin Cash is probably the best at analytics. Personally, I think he understands them as well as, you know, probably Gabe Kapler might be the only other person who I could point to and say, yes, these people, they just understand what the front office is talking about when they put these stats out. There's no in-game decisions that they're like, well, is this a gut decision? Is this an analytics decision? No, they know what the right mathematical move is, whether it works out or not. You know, that's a whole other thing. And we got to be careful to avoid making analytics the boogeyman, because the teams that are winning are using analytics. It's the Astros and the ALCS for the fifth year in a row. The heavy, heavy analytics. It's the Dodgers, heavy analytics. I mean,
have you ever Rays, thought that Red maybe Sox. The Yankees just have the wrong nerds?
That's the other point.
That's maybe, the problem.
Maybe the Yankees just aren't using them right. And it's,
either they're
it's
not
the
using
personnel.
Them right, or maybe their nerds just aren't at a level of nerdiness where it's a successful nerdiness, you know? I mean, I understand that analytics is taking over the game of baseball, and I totally get it. I mean, you see it everywhere, but like, you're just looking at the fact of the matter and the fact that every year, as of late, the Rays have gone so far just because they use analytics to their advantage 150%. That is how they run the game. They lose the game, they're like, yep, you know what? One-time thing, it happens. But maybe the Yankees nerds aren't quite good enough to be doing what they're doing. So maybe they need to also find some new nerds.
Maybe. And I think there is a lot more room in the playoffs for the human element of the game, because of the small sample size. And, you know, the numbers might say do one thing, but, you know, if you're the Tampa Bay Rays, we've seen this play out over a few years now. Their relievers are not the same in the postseason. Their relievers just, they don't have the same break. They don't have the same ride on their fastball. They're gassed because they were using three starters at one point this year. They were just bullpenning. And you had Shane McClanahan and Shane Boz. Those are two rookies. You got rookies out there. Luis Patino, he had no business pitching in game three when he was supposed to be the game four starter. He's a starting pitcher. And you said you're starting game four. And then in the 10th inning of game three, you're like, actually, we need you tonight. He's a rookie. He's a starter. This is not a situation that he has prepared himself for. It takes a starter all day to get going, all day. And you're just going to throw Patino into this situation as a rookie against the Boston Red Sox in a let's call it must win game three, because that's what it was. It was must win. Of course he's going to give up a 2-run home run to Christian Vasquez. Of course he's going to do that. This is not his situation. But that's, you know, the situation you put yourself in. If you're the Rays and you really lean into this bullpen approach, eventually you're going to run out of bullpen guys. You're going to run out. You're going to have to say, well, we don't have anyone else to pitch, so I guess we're going to throw tomorrow's starter and we'll just, you know, figure it out tomorrow and see what happens. You're not going to get any length out of your starters. And that's why, you know, you look at a team like the Braves and the Brewers and you see, okay, they're starting pitching depth there. You look at the Dodgers, they're starting pitching depth. So at the very worst case, you know, if you have a blow up start from inning number one for, let's say Kevin Gausman for the Giants, they don't have as much starting pitching depth, but let's say you have a blow up inning in inning number one, you can pretty much write the book on the game already. You can still get four innings. Five innings, save the bullpen for the next day. And that's just, it's not a luxury the Rays have, especially without Tyler Glasnow, who's not going to be, you know, ready for the start of the year next year either. And of course, the Rays over a 162 sample size will still find a way to be a pain in our ass. and probably win the division again, but it's not sustainable all year. You can't do it all year.
Well, I think we made it very clear that the AL is out. I mean, like, we don't want the Red Sox winning and we don't want the Astros winning. It is just the worst case scenario for any regular, like, baseball fan. You just don't want to see this. This is exactly, like, what did Joe Girardi say? It's not what you want.
It's not what you want. The one team in the American League that I could, like, get behind, the Chicago White Sox, got a masterclass in been here and done that by the Houston Astros. I mean, they ran the White Sox out of town, ran them out of town in Chicago, just ran them.
So I think we made it clear that my rooting does not lie in the American League.
Go Giants.
Honestly, at this point, I'm just kind of like anyone else in the National League. I don't care. I really don't care. Would I prefer to be the Rockies? Absolutely.
Can't do Dodgers because Padres Twitter wouldn't like that. I don't care at this point
because it's Mookie Betts. I'm okay with him.
Dodgers Twitter's not going to like that. They're not going to like that. Trey Dodger Turner, loving.
I'm okay with him.
You're doing Dodger loving, okay. Allison. You're doing Dodger loving.
I'm speaking. Excuse me. I am more than okay with rooting for the Dodgers because it's not the Red Sox. It's not the Astros. I don't really care. And I like Trey Turner. I like Mookie Betts. I hate some other people on the team, but not as much as I hate other people on other teams. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, Red Sox, Astros, and the ALCS, that's a nightmare scenario where you have to watch every game because partly it's our job and partly, like, it's the ALCS. Obviously, we're going to watch every game, but it's like, can we root for both teams to lose? Is that something that can happen? Can both teams lose?
Or, you know,
seven game tie?
I don't mean to be, like, bitter, but, like, you know, the Red Sox have a history with COVID. Like, what happens then? I'm just asking. What happens?
The Red Sox are also not vaccinated to the point where they need to be vaccinated. So if COVID, you know, COVID hit the Braves, it got Jorge Soler. But, of course, the Braves are over that 85% threshold. So they're fine to keep playing. And Soler is the only one, you know, who's getting the boot from the team. If that happens to the Red Sox, that's bad.
So I was watching, obviously, the wild card game. I started out on regular ESPN, got really annoyed really quick. So I switched over to the StatCast. The StatCast version, which was good until the very end of the game. Just before the game was over, the announcer started speaking about how the Red Sox have been through so much because they've had so many different COVID outbreaks and, like, their players have had to leave the field because of positive COVID tests. And it's heartbreaking. And I'm like, get fucking vaccinated. I don't know what else to tell you. That is not an underdog story. We are not using the COVID-19 narrative as an underdog story for the fucking Red Sox.
Yeah.
No.
Also, the Boston Red Sox are the exact same as the New York Yankees. You don't get to play the underdog card ever. Ever. That doesn't exist for you. It doesn't matter if you came into the year and you were supposed to be bad. Doesn't matter. You're the Boston Red Sox. You don't get to play that card.
The Giants are an underdog, okay? The Giants had a 0.01% chance at the beginning of the year of making the postseason.
Yeah, but they were the first team to clinch. Like, it's still the San Francisco Giants. Like, they should be in this spot. They had a bad roster. All of a sudden, Buster Posey takes a year off and he's back to MVP form. Brandon Crawford having a really good year. Whatever. Like, those guys shouldn't have been doing that. Like, they should not have been this good. But it's the Giants.
Well, I will tell you, I'm not going to say I'm rooting for the Giants because whoever I say I'm rooting for just loses. So I will say.
Been the trend so far.
Yeah, it's been a trend. But I will say, if the Giants do win, one of our good buddies, Mike Tauchman, gets a ring as well. So that would be cool, too.
True. Okay, circling back. We got number one, you want a new manager. What do you want the Yankees to do second?
Well, it's interesting because there's a lot of different things that they could do. There's a lot of different ways that they could go. I was just kind of looking at the list of available free agents and I noticed Corey Kluber's name is on there and I was like, oh, easy, sign him. But then I was like, wait, you got Garrett Cole. You got Luis Severino coming back into the starting role. You've got Jordan Montgomery. You've got Luis Gil potentially. You've got
Jameson Taillon.
They have pitchers now, which is wonderful news. So I was just thinking in terms of the pitching right now, I don't think with the starters, you really need to do much. You know, there might be a move down the line, but I feel like it's going to be for the offense as it should be. I do feel like the Yankees need to sign Anthony Rizzo because Luke Voit is not going to get it done. Anthony Rizzo is a far superior defensive first baseman, and I still have faith in DJ LeMahieu. So I'm going to go with signing Anthony Rizzo. I think that's very important. Oh, hi. I think that's very important. And I think that is something that needs to be done pretty soon before he actually tests the waters, but they can't overpay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a little bit of a tightrope walk. And I like what Anthony Rizzo brings because I don't think we saw the best that he has to offer as a Yankee. And I think that's clear. I think the numbers support that. We didn't see Anthony Rizzo's best offensive production. And you know, maybe part of that is a change of scenery. It was Chicago Cub for so long and meant so much to that city. And now all of a sudden he's in New York and it's a different vibe. And maybe that plays a part in it. But I think, you know, if we can get Rizzo for, you know, it's not going to be some crazy $300 million deal. It's going to be a way less than that.
No.
But I think if we can get him on a semi-affordable rate, and I think that's going to be key this offseason for the Yankees, it's got to be spend fucking money. Drop the money. Drop the bank.
The other thing too is that Anthony Rizzo, it seemed like to me at the very least, he was the one when no one was hitting, he was getting singles, getting doubles, hitting home runs. Like you would see Anthony Rizzo home run, Anthony Rizzo home run. I feel like he's definitely hasn't shown his potential quite yet. I do feel like defensively, we've gotten a really good taste of what he's all about. And I really, really like what I see over there because honestly, defensive first baseman, not our biggest thing over the past few years.
Not since Mark DeShera retired.
Yeah, exactly.
Having a good defensive first baseman is one of those things where it's like, if you don't have it, it's like, all right, whatever. Like, at least he gets home runs. But if you do have it, it's like, this is God. This is God. Like, and also, Anthony Rizzo plays. He plays every day.
You don't have to hold your breath every time Gleyber Torres throws from across the diamond. Like,
you know he's going to scoop it. You know, Rizzo is going to scoop this ball.
I mean, him or Albert Abreu, like one of them.
Yeah, one of them. And he plays. He plays every single day, Anthony Rizzo. And he won't play every single day as a Yankee because they never play anyone every single day. But this isn't a guy you have to worry about like long IL stints. Your cat wants attention.
She's biting the wire on the microphone. And there's a little tie on my shirt that she wants right now. So that's what's happening. Yep. There she is. Okay.
That's hysterical. We haven't seen Tori in a while.
My jewelry. I know she was sitting next to me during the wild card game. And then I was jumping up and down and yelling and she ran away, but then she kept coming back and then she kept running away. So
have you calmed down yet? Have you
I know.
You
and then
yourself?
She would like sit there cautiously, like on the edge, just in case she needed to run. And she did again, multiple times. But yeah, it was watching the wild card game. My boyfriend called me right as Garrett Cole was losing Rafael Devers and for that walk. And I was like, you're kidding. And I was like, Siege, I can't talk to you. You're a Red Sox fan. Like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. Please. I don't want to say you jinxed the season, but
that's what I'm saying. So then he started looking at telling. Look, she's following me everywhere. Then he started telling stories to keep me on the phone. And I was like, Siege, like this, I can't do this. I can't like,
that's so messed
then
up.
The home run got hit. And I was like, I yelled. So I was like, fuck you. Oh my God. And he's like, I'm not watching what happened. And I'm like, fuck you. You know exactly what happened. And I'm so mad.
Oh my God.
So mad. But you know what? I didn't hang up and that's progress. Hi, kitty.
Is it progress? It feels like you should have just declined the call. And if you decline that phone call, we might be having a different conversation right now than what should the Yankees do this offseason.
I'm not about that. You know what? The Yankees offense failed them. Brett Gardner struck out like three times. It's fine.
True. Brett Gardner. I was hoping for a signature Brett Gardner. I was hoping for a signature Andrew Velasquez moment. That's what I really
know. That
wanted.
Would have been so epic. I mean, you got him starting in a one game playoff. Like, that's amazing.
Against the Red Sox of all teams, not right. The A's, mm-hmm. not the Twins, the Boston right. Red Sox.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, I was hoping for that too.
All right. Number three. What's the third thing the Yankees are doing this offseason?
They're finding a new hitting coach, aren't they?
That seems to be the direction that it's going. I've heard Twitter rumors. I don't know if they're true or anything, but it seems like the hitting staff might be on the way out. And Phil Nevin specifically on the way out because...
Ooh,
holy yes. bad sense.
So just listen, Brett Gardner, third base coach, for sure.
I honestly don't mind that at all. If you got to,
you know,
find
maybe
a way
they can strike
a
deal with him and say, listen, like, we get that you want to play. You're not going to make more than this buyout option. So we're going to give you the team buyout option and you can work for us.
That's fine. Fine with me. Take it.
Yeah.
Take it. Okay. So we got. New manager, new coaching staff, sign Anthony Rizzo. What else?
Not sure.
You're missing a big one, Allison.
Which one?
A huge one.
Well, the cat's really distracting me right now.
We need a shortstop.
Oh, that. Yeah, that's an important position, yeah. isn't it?
We need a shortstop, Allison.
And it's not Gleyber Torres, who made it very clear in the wild card game that second base is his jam.
No, definitely not going to be shortstop Gleyber anymore. And Gleyber, he's on thin ice. He's on very thin ice after the lack of power in the last two seasons. And you can't blame it on the non-juiced ball in 2021 because he didn't have it in 2020 either. He didn't have it in 2020. So it's more of a mechanical thing and more about his swing and what he's doing at the plate than about the juice ball, because they had the juice ball in 2020 for sure. That, I mean, this is the most aggressive I've ever seen Tori. She is like, stop podcasting, come play with me immediately. Oh, there she goes. She's like, all right, I'm done.
Whew. Anyway, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and we got some interesting names out there. One of the ones that I like, and I don't think the Yankees are going to get him because I think Toronto would be foolish to let Marcus Semien walk, but I like Marcus Semien. I like him a lot.
Listen, I liked him last year.
That's true.
I liked him last year. And, you know,
he's got a couple MVP caliber seasons under his belt now.
Yeah.
That's your cat is psychotic. It's completely psychotic. This is the longest she's ever been on the podcast. She usually just like sticks her butt in the camera and then walks away.
No, now she's attacking me. So. Oh, now she's lying down. Great. She's tired. She's done with it. Done with me.
Yeah. Other options. I know this is going to be a very controversial one. Carlos Correa. I don't think the Astros let him walk. I think they match whatever offer he gets. Maybe the Yankees put in a really big offer for him and at least get the Astros to use up some more of their payroll. But objectively speaking, Carlos Correa is probably the best shortstop available. The Yankees need a shortstop. I know. That's objectively speaking, Carlos Correa wins us games. He wins games. But
I just, I don't know. Like, I don't know how people react to him, not the player, but the person, you know?
Yes. Because we have long held on this podcast. We're not about Carlos Correa. Even before the cheating stuff even came out, you know, we were not on the Carlos Correa bandwagon. He's a weird guy. He's weird. And after the cheating stuff, I mean, I can just imagine what WFAN is going to sound like if the Yankees give a massive, because that's what it's going to be, a massive mega deal, like Carlos Correa dies a Yankee, that kind of mega deal. Mm-hmm. Imagine WFAN the next day after Carlos Correa signs like a 13-year, $330 million contract with the New York Yankees. It's going to be a bloodbath, an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah, I mean, that is just, but you know, the Yankees have a history of bringing in polarizing players. They just do. It's just, I don't know I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And I know that his talent far exceeds any other shortstops on the market. Like, it
he's that guy. He is a potential perennial MVP, a guy who could win the MVP every single year.
He's just asshole.
Carlos Correa. It's Carlos Correa. And you know, the other guys, there's, you know, Marcus Semien isn't as good as him. Toronto won't let him walk. He's going to be a Canadian hero. Corey Seager, I think, you know, it's the injuries for me. He gets injured a lot, mm-hmm. and that's something that I don't think I can handle anymore, especially if we're going to dole out a long contract to a shortstop. I don't think I can handle having a perennially injured shortstop. I can't do it. It's nice. He's a lefty. His defense mm-hmm. isn't great, but he's got a good bat. And, you know, it works for me. That if he stays on the field, it works for me. And I think Trevor Story is probably far and away the worst of the four options, but also, you know, an elite player. There's just an abundance
and of shortstops.
And a good guy. Yeah. He is like, he's the least problematic, but also like maybe not the guy who's like shows up and guarantees a World Series appearance. He's not that guy. Yeah. But Carlos Correa might be.
I would definitely question if the Yankees doled out a mega contract to Carlos Correa, just how much they're putting, you know, that talent over the person and the history and all that stuff. And I understand that people deserve second chances and whatnot. And, you know, obviously no one really knows what went down in the Astros dugout and clubhouse except for the guys that were in there, because no one's saying a word.
Well, we'll know after we sign him to a mega deal.
But it's really hard for me to get on that train. And I know people are like, you just have to think of him as a player, but like, that's why I don't cheer for Aroldis Chapman. It's why I don't cheer for Domingo Germán.
Exactly.
Like,
You begrudgingly accept. Yeah, you begrudgingly accept that they're good pitchers and they help your team win games, but you're not actively like, yeah, like, go Aroldis Chapman.
I'm not seeking out a Chapman jersey.
I want nothing to do. If the Yankees got rid of Aroldis Chapman and Domingo Germán tomorrow, wouldn't bat an eyelash. I don't care how it affects the bullpen or the rotation. Wouldn't care one bit. Get rid of them. But, you know, when you're there and you want to win baseball games, you just kind of begrudgingly accept like, all right, this guy's a piece of shit, but this is the situation. I don't have control over the roster. What I would do with the roster is not what they would do with the roster.
Which is why I love Anthony Rizzo, because he's just a good guy. And he's fun and he loves the game and he's great with the media, great with the clubhouse. Apparently not Luke Voit, but you know, that's just a thing.
That seems more like a Luke Voit problem. Yeah, Luke Voit's gone. If we sign Anthony Rizzo, mm-hmm. honestly, I think Luke Voit might be gone anyway. I think that we're going to find first base somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. So, I mean, this offseason is going to be busy.
Yeah. We need one more. Better number be five. What's your number five? What's the last thing you want to see the Yankees do?
Lower ticket prices.
Lower ticket prices. That's a good one. Not going to happen, but it's good to dream. It's good to dream. Mine is sign Aaron Judge to an extension.
Oh, okay. Duh. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's a given. Aaron Judge, given. This man wants to be in pinstripes. And I saw a TikTok of some guy on the streets before the wild card game. And he's going around asking people, Yankees fans, he's like, what would you give up for, like, get rid of for a Yankees World Series? And this guy's screaming and he's like, I would give up my firstborn child. When that child is born, I will take that child and I will give it directly to Aaron Judge. And I was like, yeah, I would too. So
yeah. The Aaron Judge, I don't even have to guarantee a World Series. Aaron Judge can just have my firstborn and just as tribute. Yeah. Thank you for all you did. Yeah. You had a few really good years when you were pre-ARB. We were only paying you like $600,000 a year. So just as a thank you for being an MVP candidate in those really affordable mm-hmm. years, here's my child.
Yeah. They would be absolutely ridiculous to let him even consider free agency. So yeah, the sooner the better. Get it done.
Yep. And he stayed healthy this year, him and Giancarlo Stanton. And that's, you know, the most frustrating part of the 2021 Yankees is that if you told me at the beginning of the year, we would have the best rotation in the American League, the best bullpen in the American League, and Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton would stay healthy all year, we're a World Series team. That's a World Series. That's a World Series. We're,
yep,
we're going to win 120 fucking games. We're never going to lose. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be awesome. And look at where we are now.
Because we didn't know that Brett Gardner would be the other outfielder. And we didn't know that.
Yeah, this Aaron happen. Hicks goes down and Luke Voit goes down. And all of a sudden, Gio Urshela regresses. Yeah, not even just hit home runs. He can't even get the ball in the fucking air. He can't even
DJ LeMahieu just can't move anymore. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It was real bad. And then we get Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo at the trade deadline too. And we're like, yeah, like I'm starting to see the vision. I feel like we have a really like good enough team now. And Gallo and Rizzo really didn't contribute all that much down the stretch and really didn't contribute much in the wild card game. As a whole, I think Rizzo hit a solo home run late.
He did.
But
he had other opportunities. So
yeah, and that's, you know, game is over already. Go get your solo home run that just stays inside pesky bowl. And you know, that's nice. But you know, down the stretch, Anthony Rizzo was not the guy that we got from Chicago. He was just a very, very good player, an above average player, but not the guy we really needed him to be. Because of Gio Urshela, because of Gleyber Torres. Also, I know it's not going to happen, but if I had to pick, you know, my number one thing that I want the Yankees fandom to do this offseason, stop the Gary Sanchez discourse. Stop it. There's nobody on the free agent market is going to be better than Gary Sanchez. There's no Yasmani Grandal available. There's no JT or Real Muto. If you want to go and get a backup catcher and decrease Gary's playing time and find him better spots, then go ahead and do that. But you're not going to find somebody who is better than Gary Sanchez available unless it's a trade, in which case we're going to give up a shit ton for an elite catcher.
Yep,
it's just, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. We're stuck with Gary Sanchez. We're stuck with him. It's
hear me out though. You've got the Kraken. You now have the Seattle Kraken making moves this year, right? Making things happen.
Yeah. You want to go get Luis Torrens? We can go get Luis Torrens from Seattle. Be like, we got this guy. His nickname is the Kraken, and you got a new hockey team. So let's make a deal.
I think that's right. And also, I think they should just send Gary a free jersey. I mean, like, I'm just promoting for Gary right here, right now. Yeah, but
that's PR 101.
How cool would that be?
Yeah, PR 101. Send the Kraken a free Kraken jersey. I actually have a friend who's like, he's like anti-sports. He's one of those people who just hates sports because he never really played sports growing up. Yeah, sometimes I do too. But he because the Seattle Kraken are just like this brand new team that's never existed before, he decided he's just going to become a diehard Kraken fan. He lives in DC. They play in Seattle. And he was like, I can finally say like I'm a day one fan. And that's that means everything to me. So I'm going to learn the rules of hockey and I'm going to watch every game and really support my crack. And he already has a jersey. He watched even the preseason games. I'm just like, that must be nice.
Dedication.
Yeah. That's just embarking on this journey of fandom, just getting started, not beaten down by years of disappointment.
It'll come. Just wait.
Yeah. You'll get there. Don't worry. You'll get there. Yeah. I mean, we go over the rest of the playoff picture quickly. And, you know, we already talked about the Astros and the White Sox. The Astros gave the White Sox a masterclass, and we've been here and done this before. The White Sox were clearly not ready for this game, partly because they haven't played a meaningful game in like 3 months because the AL Central is terrible and they locked it up so long ago. It was a lock almost the entire year that they were going to win that division. And it's only going to get worse for them next year because Cleveland might trade Jose Ramirez. If they're smart, they trade Jose Ramirez this offseason. That's who I want. If I'm the Yankees, I want
heard some trade rumors surrounding Gleyber Torres as well.
I could do with that. And if it's got to be prospects, it's got to be prospects. And I would be, you know, if we have to give up Volpe for that, you know, that's fine with me. Volpe plus. And then you can kind of stomach moving DJ LeMahieu to first base and losing a lot of power at that position, but also having Jose Ramirez at third. That would be awesome. I would like that very much. But yeah, they're going to take a step back and the White Sox are going to walk into the playoffs again next year and run into the same problem. They haven't played a meaningful game in 3 months. They were not prepared for the Houston Astros. And they were also just not a better team than the Astros. The Astros were significantly better than they were. Yeah. Anything else to add on that? No. Yeah. But it was a pretty boring series. Pretty boring. Rays Red Sox. That was something.
Why do the Red Sox get rewarded for kicking the ball over the wall? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's a dumb rule. And before we talk about it, I just want to say that, you know, the Red Sox won in four games, but it very easily could have been the Rays in four games. The last two games that we went
innings, it was teetering.
Yeah, it was teetering. And in game three, the Red Sox, that was game three, right? With the ground rule double.
Yes.
Or the automatic double, not a ground rule double. Apparently, ground rule only applies to the field, and automatic double is when that bullshit happens. So this game, it's tied. Hunter Renfroe misplays a ball off the wall. It bounces off his hip and goes into the stands. Yandy Diaz doesn't score. The Rays don't take a 5-4 lead heading into the ninth inning. And then Christian Vasquez hits a walk-off 2-run homer. That changes the series. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think the Red Sox come back if they're down one run in the ninth inning instead of tie game. I don't think they come back from that. So then the Rays are up 2-1. You see what happens in game four. And it was another close game that, you know, the Red Sox just happened to win. And of course, it was Kike Hernandez to walk it off because he was just... You know, it's one of those things that you can't predict about baseball. I don't think the Red Sox were the better team. I just think they were the hotter team. And Kike Hernandez was the hottest hitter on planet Earth for the entire series, which makes absolutely zero sense, but I guess good for him.
Was he the one playing center field?
I know he played center field. I don't know if he played it the entire series or if he
moved around. I just would like to point out that in game, it must have been game four. Yeah, game four. I think it was Randy Arozarena hit a single to center field. And instead of like going around and cutting off the single, he dove for it when he was like,
oh, yeah, seven yeah. Feet that away. Was, that was Kike Hernandez. Yeah, he was nowhere remotely close to catching that ball. But he went for it. He went for it.
Yeah, I just think bad baseball, and it made me laugh so hard. And I hoped the Red Sox lost because I was like, did you see that? Did you see what he just did?
Yep. But yeah, I mean, the Red Sox got hot at the right time. They had the right guys come up in the right situations. They win a series. Kike Hernandez, you know, definitely the series MVP. And now I think they're going to get buzzsawed by the Astros. I think the Astros are just going to run them ragged.
I don't know. I don't know what I want. I don't care about the AL anymore. I don't care.
Yeah, I just don't. Obviously, I'm going to watch every game and I'm going to be very invested in the results as long as the result is both teams lose. In the National League, the Cardinals gave the Dodgers a nice run in the wild card game. It was close for a very long time. 39-year-old Adam Wainwright pitched his ass off. Tip of the cap to them. They almost got there. They almost did it. But obviously, the Dodgers are the Dodgers. Honestly, game five of Dodgers-Giants better be the game of the fucking century. Because the first four have been pretty boring.
I agree. There hasn't been, like, the Yankees and Red Sox. Well, the Rays and the Red Sox, let's go with. Just everything was so back and forth. And you really didn't know. It swayed every single inning, like, who was primed to win. So I loved that. Even though I hated it at the same time, but I definitely agree. Like, I was watching a little bit last night and they were already up, you know, 1-0, 2-0. And you're like, yeah, this is boring.
Yeah. Even the 1-0 shutout win in game three was that
the Giants?
Yeah. The Giants won game three, even that 1-0 shutout win, that Longoria home run came so early and it was just like the rest of the game, you were just watching people get out. And it didn't really feel like the Dodgers ever put together something that could have resulted in a win until the very last at bat. And Chris Taylor hits one all the way to the wall and the wind blows it back. You know, that's great. The Giants win that game, but it wasn't like an exciting, it was a close game. It wasn't an exciting game. It just hasn't been like that interesting yet. And the same thing with Brewers Braves. I feel like, you know, game four was a little bit different because there was a little bit more of a back and forth, but the first three games I was like, all right, like, Are you guys going to score any runs today? Are we going to hit? Are we going to at least like have a really cool dominant pitching matchup? Like, no, it was just boring. It was boring. And a shout out to the Braves, overcoming all the odds, the worst team in the playoffs, and they still win in the NLDS.
Good for Freddie Freeman. I just love that man.
Yeah, that's a good guy for that to happen to send your team to the NLCS when you were supposed to get blown out by the Milwaukee Brewers. Three games. I called three games. I was looking at Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, and Freddie Peralta. I'm being like, the Braves don't have that. They don't have that.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to the whole Freddie Freeman thing, I think the thing I loved best was listening to him after the game yesterday. Was him talking and they were asking him, you know, like, how, you know, what did you know what was coming, blah blah blah, like how did you hit that ball so hard? And he's like, I don't know. It was a baseball.
Yeah, like, I don't fucking know. I swung and the ball, it got hit.
He was
by
like
the bat.
He was like I was working on a few things, you know, before the game and everything, and it just kind of all fell into place. And I was like, good answer. I just love this guy. Like, classic, like, see ball, hit ball. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I loved that Bob Nightingale tweeted that Freddie Freeman said, I'm an Atlanta Brave. I'm going to stay with the Atlanta Braves. I'm really excited to see if he is powerful enough to be wrong about a direct quote from a player. I'm really excited to see that, because that's what I've got my eye on. And I think we can both agree that whoever wins game five of Dodgers Giants goes to the World Series, right?
I don't think so. The
Braves don't have a chance against either one of those teams, right. Which, of course, me saying that pretty much guarantees the Braves win in five. But it's going to be, it's a good one. Logan Webb was pretty dominant in game one. I want to give the slight edge to the Giants in game five. I want to give a slight edge to them, and that's going to be Giants Astros World Series. Go Giants. That's it.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Whoever is in the National League, I'm rooting for. Don't care who it is. I'm rooting for them.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up our Yankee season, unfortunately, and the first episode of the endless void of what is up with the off season, man.
Yes, we have to wait and see, which is my least favorite phrase in human history.
Yeah, especially because, like, the Yankee news doesn't start happening until after the World Series. So we have to wait like another 2 weeks before Yankee stuff even starts happening.
I would love for the Yankees to just sign a massive extension in the middle of one of the biggest games of the World Series. Just be like, oh, by the way, Aaron Judge.
10 years. We signed for 10 more years. And all of a sudden, all of Yankees Twitter is no longer watching the next inning.
Actually, it's 11. It's 11.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty funny.
It would be funny.
Don't see it happening, but that would be really relevant again.
Just do it. I think that has to be done. Obviously, that is like something pretty important. So just get it done.
Yeah, it's been a long time since somebody associated the World Series with the Yankees.
Now's the time.
All right. Yeah, we'll come up with something to talk about for the next couple of weeks.
We'll figure it out.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, just that, you know, anxiously awaiting news on, you know, what the deal with is with Brett Gardner. I was hoping for one more Gardy party, but, you know, alas, I think that's done.
Yeah, I'm not too confident. You know what I am confident in? Brett Gardner not being signed for the 2022 season, but about halfway through, the Yankees have to sign him on a veteran minimum deal.
Ooh.
So like, we just, somebody got hurt. We need you, Brett. We need you back.
That would be a wonderful surprise.
Just
in the middle of June, just be like, oh my God, Brett Gardner's coming back.
He would hit a home run in his first game back. He would absolutely. Oh, yeah,
he'd be so hype. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Well, that's all I got. So I guess thank you to all the people who listened every week for joining us for another Yankees season. Obviously, we're disappointed with the way it ended, and it's going to be a bloodbath of an off season with the conversations that are going to be had. Don't forget, analytics are not the boogeyman. They're just statistical data that shows you how to win better. And Tori's back. One more goodbye from Tori.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. All right. See you next week.
All right.